To start the meeting, I want to make a specific note on the record. This meeting is being conducted in conformity with Governor Andrew M. Cuomo's Executive Order 202.1, which is entitled Continuing Temporary Suspension and Modification of Laws Relating to the Disaster Emergency, which suspends portions of the open meetings law. Specifically, there is direct mention of the suspension of law, which now allows the attendance of meetings telephonically or other similar service. The governor's executive order in relevant part reads, Article 7 of the Public Officers Law, to the extent necessary to permit any public body to meet and take actions authorized by the law, without permitting in public, in-person access to meetings, and authorizing such to be held by conference call for similar service, provided that the public has the ability to view or listen to such proceeding, and that such meetings are recorded and later transcribed. Accordingly, this meeting of the New York State Thoroughbred Breeding and Development Fund is being conducted with such allowance. We are recording today's meeting for transcription as required. Get that, Kyle?
I did, yeah.
Okay.
That'll be duly noted in a minute.
We have all indicated our presence for the record, and I will note for the record the presence of a quorum. I will begin with the agenda.
Can you hear it?
Item two on the agenda, consideration of minutes from the August 13th.
I'm gonna make it louder.
Board meeting. You've all gotten a copy of the
meeting. Get closer.
Welcome, Senator Nolan. I can see you. Can you hear us?
Yeah, I'm here.
Good. Welcome. We just began. We're starting with the agenda, item two, consideration of minutes from the August 13th, 2019 board meeting. We've all been given a copy of the minutes and have had an opportunity to hear them. Does anybody have any suggested changes or amendments to the August 13th minutes?
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, Bill, Doctor.
On page three, there's a slight error, and it refers to the Thoroughbred Retirement Fund. It's actually the Thoroughbred Retirement Foundation. Small matter, but shows our confidence.
Good catch, Doctor. Without objection, that amendment will be made to the minutes. Are there any other changes or amendments? Okay,
Mr. Chairman, another small thing. Unless I missed something, Jackie got a big promotion as the acting commissioner. Maybe we could switch her title on the minutes to reflect what her actual title is. So she's listed as the acting commissioner.
Congratulations, Jackie.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know if I asked for that job. Deputy commissioner is good.
Okay, Deputy Commissioner will replace that. Any other changes? Hearing none, I'll take a motion to accept the minutes. Motion by Senator Nolan, seconded by Mr. Graziano. All in favor?
Aye.
Minutes are accepted. Item number three, February year-to-date statements. Jill?
So I do have the ability to put the documents that we're looking at now on.
You can't hear it?
Can everybody else hear me?
Yep. We can hear you, Jill.
Okay, good. To put them on the screen, so if there's any documents that somebody wants to see, the group to see in total, because you don't have copies in front of you, we can do that. Excuse me?
Yeah, okay.
So the first thing I just want to bring up, a lot has changed since these February reports have been distributed. The first thing that I want to bring to everybody's attention is as of February, Resorts World revenues were down about $160,000. You'll see that the year to date is only down from last year about $107,000, and that's because we had strong ADW and Finger Lakes VLT revenues. In addition, the awards, Breeder Stallion and Owner Awards, were up for January and February about $158,000 and in total, and that is over last year. There is a lot of fluctuation from month to month. I think that usually in the long term, it does level out at the end of the year. And this year, because we don't have racing going on right now, I don't anticipate that revenues will go up significantly for the awards for the year. A couple more notes, administration, you'll see that down as compared to what we had budgeted in prior year. And 15,000 of that is just due to the fact that we had received a $15,000 payment from the Suffolk OTB during the month of February this year. So that amount, just for presentation purposes on this page one, is netted against the admin expenses. In reality, they're only about $5,000 less than they were last year at this time. Going the opposite direction, the promo you'll see is up about $75,000 from last year and $48,000 from what we had budgeted. And that's a timing issue with promotional activity. We'll get to when we get to the ratification, there was a ratification for the NYRA of $150,000. Exclusivity contract for the promotional. And what I did was I expensed 75 of it in January, and the other 75 will be expensed in July. So that's something that's showing up there that wasn't there last time. There's a lot going on right now that we probably want to bring up, and maybe if I can bring this up on the screen, this was something that I prepared and I emailed out to members yesterday in regards to cash flow projections. Is this something everybody can, oh no, I have to share my screen first, I think. Hold on a second. Get back here. All right. Now, is this everybody, something everybody?
Yeah, it's on there, Joe.
Okay, good. Thank you.
Very good, Jill.
I'm learning. It's kind of the crash course. So what we're looking at here is cash flow at the beginning of March, which was almost $5 million. And then funds that we received during the month of March brings us up to about $5,800,000. And then you'll see the expenses. We did pay out the awards for the first period in early March. And then some admin and promo, and there's some 2019 activity that hasn't been paid out yet. And we did make a communication out to the Harry's Wag Fund and about the $388,000 that we owe them for 2019. And they stated that we would be able to defer that if needed. We've also got, we did pay half of the gaming commission for the VLT monies that we received from Nassau and Suffolk. Half of that was paid for March 20th. The other half is due the end of April. And we have reached out to the gaming commission to see if needed, if we could defer that additionally. We also have, in addition to that, some purse money supplemental to NYRA, the $200,000 and purse enrichments for the first quarter of the year that we normally pay out in April. And then awards for the second period, which, because racing has stopped now, is at $320,000, is the 90% is what would be normally owed. I would suggest that maybe because of the situation right now and the unknowns, that we try to limit our expenses as much as we can and maybe not pay out. I mean, we do have $2 million, even if we were to pay out everything, but we're, once we get back up running, there's going to be a period where we're not going to be, we're not going to have any revenues. There's going to be a delay. Our promo and our admin expenses are about $100,000 a month. And I would suggest that we try to hold on to what we can until we know the situation normalizes itself. One thing I think is that we're probably pretty safe in sending out the supplemental awards. It's a $316,000. Those checks have been issued. They've been cut. They're just waiting for postage and to be mailed. So I'm looking for a little bit of guidance as far as, I mean nobody really knows for sure where we're going to go with this, but in my, you know, I would think again that we maintain the cash that we do have, because this is pretty much all the cash that we will get until things are up and running again, and we don't know how long the situation is going to last. And I just want everybody's opinion or some feedback on what people think of that.
Jim, what happens if we don't mail them out?
It just keeps extra cash for us.
How much extra cash?
Which are you talking about specifically? Just the supplement?
The ones that you mentioned that we haven't mailed yet.
The $316,000. So if you look at it right now, even if everything goes out the door, we've got $2 million as a reserve, you know, as money to use for future operating expenses. You know, there's some thought, and I think that, you know, my recommendation, you know, we can pay out the supplemental if maybe it's a goodwill to some of the breeders. When we talk about the audited financial statement, I'll go into a little bit more detail, but they're not really, most of the checks are relatively small. That 316,000 is actually almost 1,000 checks. So if you divide that out, you can see that it, you know, the average check is not huge. But the other thing is, you know, and then if we were to do that, reduce discretionary spending, possibly pay other 2019 obligations only as needed, so we're able to hold on you know, these three purse amounts right here. Well, I think the 200 to Naira, the 375 to Naira and Finger Lakes, and then maybe the second period award checks, that's almost $900,000 right there. And then in addition, if the Zweig funds allows us to hold on to that $400,000, and even if we can get a deferral of sorts, or that's not even due until the end of April, hopefully we'll have a better idea of what's going on. That's you know, $1.5 million we can add back in to this, which would give us a pretty good cushion for what's going to go on. In the future, at least to get us through any immediate danger until we know and still we understand what the future brings. You know, I was thinking that in the June meeting, we could probably discuss further if we need to possibly increase the withhold. Right now it's at 10%. So maybe we increase that to 20% for an additional amount, a cushion till the end of the year, till we know for sure what our revenues turn out to be. That would give us about an extra $1 million and at the end of the year. Another thing that was discussed was possibly not paying the awards as currently scheduled. So for example, our March and April awards are normally paid out the first week in May. Maybe we hold that off, or maybe we add and we do the second period and third period and mail that check out later on in the year. Again, depending on when revenues start coming in again, and we know we have a pretty good handle on our cash flow. And then that can be visited at the June meeting once we have a better idea of what's going on.
So Jill, the first thing you need is direction from the board as to whether or not to mail those ones that are ready to go.
I think
supplemental awards, correct?
Yes.
Kyle, Kyle, are you there?
Yes, sir.
I am. We approved these supplemental awards early so we could avoid the situation that was brought up in the Ethics Commission.
Correct.
You following me, Kyle?
Yes, sir. I am.
Now, does that ethics advisory, does that apply to this decision as to whether or not to mail these awards?
No, I don't think it does because that issue, the issue there had to do with sort of selecting one group of potential payees over another group. And what we're talking about here is across the board, whether or not to, you know, hold off on paying out those supplemental awards across the board. So I don't see how that opinion is germane to this decision.
Okay, then. Having heard from counsel, is there anyone that has a recommendation or a motion regarding whether or not to mail those payments?
This is Joe. It's Joe. And, I mean, we're talking about $316,000 here. If we're going to, that's a pretty small amount what we've got in this whole thing. If we can delete paying or put off paying some of these other things, and I thought I understood Jill to say that, it would seem to me that there's a lot of people that are part-time breeders that have jobs. A lot of them are out of work right now. I would think that we should get this award, the supplemental award, out, even if it's not much money. I mean, it's $316,000. I don't see where that really should be a I don't think that would be right to hold that back right now. I think that people need it probably now more than they normally do. And if we can do that, I think we should do that. I think we should pay them.
Okay, I'll accept that as a motion to direct Jill to make the payments. Is there a second to the motion?
I second that.
Second by Dr. Wilmot. Any discussion?
This is Jeff. I don't want to derail this vote, but I want to add some, I think, further color that perhaps will support that motion. So Jill mentioned purse enrichment as a significant source of cash that we can hold on to. I think that's obviously a natural case because there's no racing, right? So Navra's not running. Finger Lakes technically isn't running anytime soon either. They don't need the purse money is the point. So I think that our partners will be flexible there. The Zweig Fund you mentioned you've already talked to. Gaming obviously is another group that's a part of this that you've talked to. And the reality of this is we don't know when racing is going to be coming back online, if at all, or when. I mean, we could be talking realistically months from now. So my point is that 89% of every dollar that the fund receives is going out in awards. Well, we're not going to be earning any awards anytime soon. So I think the cash flow, it's in my opinion, will resolve itself eventually if we stay the course. And at the same time, if we know that we're not going to be paying awards anytime soon because no one's going to be earning them, it would make even more sense that the supplemental amount goes out now versus later.
Okay, thank you, Jeff. Any other discussion? Okay, motion made by Joe, seconded by Dr. Wilmot. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, Joe, the motion carries unanimously. You can send out the awards.
Okay, thank you. The only thing that I do want to comment on in regards to the February financial statement is, and maybe Kyle can add to this, is we received in February another payment on the from the Catskill OTB. If you look on the last page of that, page 12, you'll see that right now they're showing as past due over 90 days of $132,000. In 2018 and 2019, they were paying us 71 cents on a dollar. The payment that we received in February, which was for October, November, and December activity, was only 50 cents on the dollar. So they've actually decreased the amount that they're paying us now. We already have them set up for a reserve for over $135,000. And a letter was sent out. And Kyle, maybe you can discuss that and let us know how, if anything is known on that.
There's nothing more to report. We did send a letter to them, reminding them of the delinquency and telling them that it's important that they need to cure that delinquency. But beyond that, they haven't responded or even acknowledged the letter. So the question is ultimately going to come down to whether or not the fund is going to take action. I would suggest that before we take any legal action that, there are certain, I would think that a lawsuit is always sort of a last resort. So to the extent that that efforts can be made to explain to them the importance of clearing this obligation, I don't know their specific financial situation. I'm sure others on this call do. My experience is that when people fall delinquent to a particular person or entity, they're paying their other bills oftentimes, but they're not paying us. I don't know if that's true here or not, but I would hope that there's sufficient that there are a number of people on this call, and maybe the Gaming Commission could be helpful in explaining the importance of this OTB, clearing this longstanding delinquency. Quite frankly, they're sort of using the breeding fund as, by not paying in full, they're sort of using us as a bank of sorts, and if we continue to allow it, then we're just hurting the fund. So we can always file a lawsuit if we need to, but I would think that there are measures that can be taken short of that to get their attention.
This is Suffolk we're referring to, just to clarify.
Catskill.
No, Catskill.
Catskill, okay. So, and under statute, all those OTBs are obligated by law to pay the fund quarterly, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah. So how many quarters are they behind?
They're 2 years.
Well, they've been paying. They've been making partial payments along the way.
Right, but they're 2 years in arrears on being paid in full. Is the point?
Yes, they owe the 30% starting in January of 2018 is when they started discounting the payments to us.
So is there anyone from gaming that know, is this the case for all industry handle-based payments that they're paying everyone on a delayed sequence? Hey,
Jeff, this is Ron Okram. No, we have reached out to Catskill in the past, and this has been a chronic problem, and we're trying to work with them to make their payments, but they are experiencing some difficulties right now.
Ron, could you reach out to them again?
Yeah, we'll have that conversation again with them. We have had in the past. We'll do it again.
Okay. Could you just send us an email as to what happened with that conversation? So
yes, sir.
Decide how we're going to proceed further.
Yes, I will.
And I'll take it up with Chairman Sample also. Okay. Anything else, Jill, on the year-to-date?
No, I think that's it.
Moving on to number four, consideration and review of 2019 outside audit. Jill?
Okay. So I'm reporting on this as well. This is the 2019 final numbers. Our audit was held in the middle of January. And if I don't think we need to bring this up on the screen, but if anybody would like it, I'm just going to go roughly, quickly through a couple of the pages. On page 2 of the financial report, it shows the opinion of Marvin and Company. And again, this audit report was considered to be presented fairly in all material respects, which means it's an unqualified or a clean audit opinion. There was no management letter that went with the document, with the financial reports. So that is the highest standard for that. On page 4 is the management's discussion and analysis. And if you see on page 4, I just wanted to bring in light of what's going on this day to the bottom half of that where it shows the operating activities. And you'll see that the handle accounts for approximately 28 of the fund's revenues, while breakage is 2%, which is 30%. And then the last line on there shows that VLT revenue sources account for 64% of the fund's revenue. So those two sources of revenue to the fund are 94% of our revenues for the year. So just keep that in mind on the ongoing situation and how quickly things come back to normal or maybe start going back maybe slightly to normal. And that's how much of an impact it's going to have on the fund, on our revenues and our activity for 2019. Then I want to show on page 5, that second paragraph discusses what happened in 2019. 2019 was a relatively good year for the fund. The awards that we paid out were comparable to the prior year. So we were able to, at the end of the year, with the VLT adjustment that we are allowed, the recapture, we collected, I think it was $900,000, maybe a little bit more, $950,000 because of the 2013 VLT adjusted for the CPI. And because we had that, we had a surplus of around $500,000. And so we were able to continue our agreement with NYRA for the extra $200,000 in purse enrichment for the Stallion Stakes series. And then that also allowed us to do that $300,000 supplemental payment. On page 14, just to confirm what Jeff had stated earlier, you'll see on page 14 there's a breakdown of the different types of awards and the purse enrichments that the fund pays. And in 2019, between awards and purse enrichment, the fund paid out almost 89%. So, you know, we run a pretty tight ship as far as the promo and the admin pieces, and the majority of the funds that we do take in go right back out again. The only other thing that I want to bring to everybody's attention, if we don't have enough to think about with the COVID-19 activity going on, is that we have two adjustments at the end of the year that we have to make. They're GASB adjustments, and they're due to pension and our retirees' health insurance. And one thing I want everybody at least think about is the pension adjustment. The date that is, their year end is March 31st, which is coming up pretty quickly, and we all know what's going on with the stock market right now. So it's a big actuarial calculation, but I'm thinking that if the stock market doesn't look too good at the end of March, that there's a good chance that there's going to be some additional liabilities that the fund is going to have to record for the pension at the end of the year. We'll know a little bit more about that in August. I'm hoping that we have that information in August, because the measurement date is as of March 31st, and they usually release that information in the summertime, sometime in the summer. You'll see on page 19, there's a show of different types of investment activities that the pension fund has and what their expected rate of return is. So obviously some of those numbers are going to go down, at least as of March 31st. So we'll have to keep that in mind. The only other thing I want to just quickly bring to everybody's attention is, along with the financial reports, we get a letter to the board, and that just states if there were any issues or problems that the audit that Marvin and company came across during their audit. And I'm happy to say that there weren't any, and you can look at this document and it will tell you that there were no difficulties. There were no corrected or uncorrected misstatements. There was no disagreements with management. And that's about it. Does anybody have any questions on the 2019 financial reports?
Thank you, Jill.
Okay.
Will we get a motion to accept the 2019 outside audit? Do you need that, Jill?
Yes.
Well, I have a motion to accept the 2019 annual outside audit report that has been explained to us by Jill.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Jeff Canizzo, second by John Graciano. All in favor?
Aye.
The outside order is accepted.
Okay. The only other thing I do want to say is this will allow us to file our Paris report by the March 31st due date, and we do have every intention of doing that. That should be done before the end of the month.
Okay. Thanks, Jill. Good job.
Thank you.
Number five, ratification of December 31st, 2019 pass around items. Tracy, you want to do that one?
Sure. We sent these out to board members. Someone else talking? Okay. We sent these out to board members and received a majority of replies in support of these back in January. These were the Ad Hoc Committee on Promotion requests that the board affirm its recommendation that the fund be allowed to pay Breeders' Awards to the statutory maximum. Renew our Tech 2 business services agreement of $11,400. This would be the fourth year of a five-year proposal. Consider an exclusive promotional agreement with NYRA for $150,000. Promotional budget 2020 spends for greater than $25,000. These include aggregate spends of up to $80,000 for the Thoroughbred Daily News and up to $75,000 for the Blood Horse. Spending levels will depend on the number of advertisements placed in the publications during 2020. I'll just remind the board that the Ad Hoc Committee on Promotion received your permission to approve spends of up to $25,000. These are above that level, so need your approval. And request to approve 2020 scheduled board meetings. The dates have been changed. March 24th is today, Tuesday, June 2nd. The next board date proposal is for August 4th, because that's before Phasic Tipton holds its sales, and they will allow us to use their meeting room that day. The alternate dates were problematic because of their close proximity to the open Saratoga sale and the New York bread sale. So that's why we're changing that date to August 4th. And then the last meeting of the year, Tuesday, December 8th.
Hey, thank you, Tracy. Unless someone objects, we can take them all together. Does anyone wish to vote on them separately? Okay, then we'll vote on them as a group. We have a motion to ratify the December 31, 2019 pass around items as stated on the agenda.
So moved by Joe.
Joe McMahon motion, second.
A second.
Second by Jeff Canizzo. Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? The items are all ratified. Number six, review and consideration of proposed upgrades for registry-related software. Tracy?
Yes, the there was a committee that consisted of some of our board members as well as members of the NYTB. And we first addressed this last year, and we were able to very quickly get the things that the breeders thought were most important, which was, for example, 24-hour access to the registry status of horses, such that if someone is at a sale, it was felt that that would help commerce, and we got that done very quickly. There were a few items that remained. We had a meeting in December with Jeff Canizzo, and then a meeting after that separately with Phil Bursch, who was on the committee. And Phil gave us permission to go ahead with all of these items, but I explained that because the $17,500 spend for the client notification of award software improvement is above my ability to give approval. I can only approve spends up to $5,000, that we would need the full board approval. So even though we want these, since we're not giving out awards, and it would help us hold on to our money, maybe we could approve these to be done, but not actually pay to have them done until we get racing back up and running and the casinos back up and running. But I'll leave that to one of the board members.
And what's the total cost?
$25,500, possibly up to $26,775. If you know, that's a contingency, it could possibly go another 5% higher.
So you would need approval to spend up to how much?
Up to $26,775.
Any questions for Tracy? Do we have a motion to authorize the spending of $26,775 for upgrades to registry-related software? Any motion? Who's that?
I have a question. This is Joe.
Okay, Joe.
This $26,775, is this a contractual spend, Tracy? Is this something we're committed to? Is this something we can put off?
We can put it off, Joe. These would do things, notify the clients, like if your horse finishes first or third in a race in New York and you're going to get an award. At the end of the day, we could send out an email notifying clients that their horse had just earned them an award. Also, electronic signature for online credit card clients, a website link to signature sheets that would afford more user-friendly access to the signature sheets for those people that like to do their work online. And finally, we would quarterly communicate outstanding items. If someone has a foal that hasn't been bred yet, quarterly we could send out a reminder letter telling them what it is that they still owe us in order to get their foal registered. And these things, we don't have to do the spending right now. We can tell the jockey club that we want to do it, but we could hold off till a better day to actually do the spends. Is that correct, Jill?
Yes, it is. I mean, what we were thinking of is, because this was discussed with somewhat with the registry committee, but I think it was really Phil Bursch that was the one that had gone over in detail the different items and had said that he would approve these spends or bring them to the full board for discussion and approval. So they do have the, you know, the backing of the committee, at least one member. And what we were thinking of is because of who knows when we're going to meet again, that maybe the best thing would be to, these are all good proposals. If the board feels that they are and they're worth having done, maybe at this time we get them approved, but we defer them until cash flow is you know, a little, we have a better idea on revenues. We can also, you know, hold off and revisit it in the June or the August meeting. I doubt that we would probably start them until June. So it's more or less if we want to table it and revisit it or approve it, but defer it.
Well, since Phil isn't here and this can easily be put off to June, I would suggest we put it on the agenda for the June meeting. Since there was no, okay, there was no motion at the beginning. Joe, do you have any other questions, or does any other members have any other questions?
No, I'm fine with putting this off until June and putting it back on the agenda, so I would table it. It doesn't sound to me like it's a pressing matter.
Okay, so if no one has objection, that's what we'll do. Okay?
Okay.
Moving on to the next item, number 7, update on status of changes to the fund's breeding rules. Jeff and Kyle.
Okay. Well, I'll let Jeff, you know, describe this other than to just, you know, I'll pipe in as needed. Obviously, this has been something that Jeff has been very active with. You know, we spent a good deal of time both putting together the amendment to the rule that Jeff will describe in greater detail. We shared it with the board. We actually negotiated a contract with NYRA in concert with this, and we have filed the rule with the state. But it hasn't really gone anywhere within the last 2 months. So, Jeff, why don't you just, you know, sort of remind everybody what this is, and
right,
I'll type in as
sure. Thanks, Kyle. This is the rule change that originally was discussed way back in September. I mean, it's been half a year, realistically, and that this board has taken action on to start the process of amending the rule, which would allow mares bought through public auction to be considered resident mares if they meet a set of stipulations. And as Kyle mentioned, it's gone through the state channels, and I believe it sits with a group called the Governor's Regulatory Review Unit, the RRU, correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe that's where it is, and it's essentially sitting there, and, you know, from my understanding, that's how a lot of these rule changes work, and in terms of what the expectation is or timeline. We've reached out. Kyle has done a lot of due diligence with them in trying to get an update. Unfortunately, there is not an update. So in the meantime, what we've done is we've been proactive in a sense that we went to NYRA and the Horsemen, which because they're a part of this, and they are, if you remember, they're putting up a New York Sired bonus program for New York Sired horses through racing. They would receive a $5,000 check to the owner of a New York Sired horse that wins, maiden special weight races and allowance races, so higher level races. And they made that commitment. Kyle drafted an MOU, which you guys have, of which the NYRA Racing Committee approved that, so it went through the full NYRA board. David O'Rourke has signed that MOU, and the Horsemen, subsequently, Joe Applebaum, the president of the Horsemen, have signed that MOU. So the point of the matter is the MOU is completely done pending the fund signature on it, which is great, and that demonstrates the commitment they have to seeing this rule change be put in place. So that's the status of this. You know, we don't have any answers, and I'm not sure if we can get any. I don't know if gaming, I'm sure that Ron can talk at length through rule change processes because you guys do so much of that in contrast to what the fund does with rules. But we're in a pending waiting pattern. And, you know, ideally, the timeline of this is such that, I mean, these horses were going to be bought in the fall, November, right? So we missed, obviously, or we started it as last year was happening. So no one's going to be able to institute this anyways now. The goal for myself would be that if this could be signed, sealed, and delivered and done around, you know, I'll call it the end of summer, September 1st timeline, the fund and the industry could go advertise that what we're offering for the November sales. So realistically, if there's any way to get this done by the end of summer, it'll be, you know, great news for the breeding industry in New York. The problem is we don't have any inclination of how that, you know, will move forward or happen. But because what has to happen now in the process, and Kyle, correct me on what I miss here, the governor's RRU unit, regulatory review unit, approves the language as we submit. They approve the fund to submit the rule out to public notice for 60 days, I believe is the time frame. So the fund would submit it out for 60 days, 2 months. The public could comment on the rule change. The fund itself, us, this group, could either incorporate any comments into a rule change, not incorporate those comments and move forward, or potentially disregard the rule altogether. If we did make comment, or if we did incorporate any changes, it would, I believe it has to be resubmit to the public. If we did not incorporate any changes, we could essentially finalize the rule and it goes back through the governor's channels and it's published in the record and it's a done deal. But that's what I can tell you in a nutshell of this rule change status. Kyle?
No, that's generally correct, Jeff. So we're in a holding pattern that doesn't even allow us to move forward on the required notice and comment period. And so if, for example, if we don't hear back from the RRU such that we can move forward on this and at least post a notice about the proposed rule and allow for a comment period by, say, May 1, then, you know, you have to build in a period of time for that notice and comment period. And obviously, if you get comments that would require a meaningful change, then you need to go through this process again and repost it for additional comments. So it's a process, and whatever, I'm not sure how we can get this moving past the RRU and into the phase where we can, post a notice and move forward with it.
Well, all I can do is ask Ron to convey to Chairman Sample and the people at the Gaming Commission that we're still looking to move this ahead. I know that the people who are responsible for this review are also responsible for dealing with all the rules and regulations regarding the coronavirus response.
That's going to be the issue right now.
They got their hands full right now, but what we can do is ask Ron and
Kyle and Jeff.
If you could tell us, we would really appreciate it.
No, I mean, Jeff and Kyle explained the SAPA, the State Amendment Procedures Act, the procedure of getting a proposal and then getting RRU to approve it and then getting it 60-day comment period. Then it would come back to the fund board for final approval. And then if there aren't any substantive changes through the comments, you can approve it. And then it would go to the State Register to be published. And on the day that it's published in the State Register, it becomes a rule.
Well, if you could just get us any information about the possibility of us moving this forward, we'd really appreciate it.
Yes, sir. Yep, I will take care of that.
Thanks, Ron.
So there's just a couple ending notes on this. I'm aware of there's several NIRA-related rules that are going through the same process, that are under the same timeline and circumstances. So this by no means is out of the norm, I would say, for how this procedure works. And then the last piece of this is I would like to see the MOU that was put together finalized, given that NYRA and the Horsemen have expedited that process for us for their commitment.
What do you need to get that done, Jim?
It's just a signature by Tracy or yourself.
Okay, no problem. Tracy, okay. You, unless anybody has an objection, it's probably easier logistically just to have you sign, Tracy, okay?
Absolutely. Can do, Jeff.
Thank you.
Yep.
Thanks, Jeff. Okay, moving on, number 8. Review and consideration of fund policies. First of all, I really want to thank Jackie and Governance Committee for all the hard work they put in on these policies. They've all been distributed to you. Jill, you want to describe it?
Well, there's actually two different sets. The first one is really just to do our annual renewal of the fund policies. So those are the funds, those are the policies that have already been approved by the fund in past years. They're listed on our website, and anybody that requested, there was a package that was sent out that lists the 15 policies. Nothing has changed on any of those policies since the prior year, and we're just looking for approval for those policies first, I think. And then
can we do it all together to save time?
If you think we can, sure.
Jackie, could you just explain the new ones that we're being asked to adopt?
Sure. Jill, are you going to do that?
Nope. You please go ahead.
So you received a packet. The Governance Committee worked to develop 3 policies. One on FOIL request.
Excuse me, Jackie.
We have a nurse mayor.
Jackie?
Yes.
You must be on, you must have 2 different lines open. We had mentioned that before, like either like on the computer and on a cell phone.
Right. So I understand that we tried to get off of one and then I couldn't hear you folks. Okay. So
let me see something.
There's a lot of feedback.
Thank you.
Is that any better?
Yes.
I think
no, that's
okay.
Fine.
So the Governance Committee took a look at 3 operating policy areas, FOIL requests, a communications policy, and then a thoroughbred welfare policy. I'll start with the easiest. The thoroughbred welfare policy mirrors very closely what the Department of Agriculture and Markets uses for suspected animal abuse situations. So that one very closely reflects what we do in our agency when our animal health inspectors see the potential abuse. Along with that policy, there is a form that also mirrors what we request from our inspectors to be filed and to go into the director. So that is the first one. The second one is the communications policy. This is very brief. It basically makes sure that the board chairman knows that when board members are confronted by reporters, and then also has him somewhat directing what they can respond to. And it's very brief, but it's something that has to do with, I think last year we had a couple of situations where some of you were approached from the media. And then it also institutes that the executive director will develop talking points for those questions. And then the last one is a FOIL request policy. which was underway with the fund prior to the governance committee taking a look at it. So those are the three new areas, and open for questions. And I know Joe McMahon and Phil were involved in the governance committee's review of these three policies.
Thank you, Jackie. Great job by all members of the committee. Any questions regarding the new policies?
Chairman, this is Ron. On the FOIL policy, on the last paragraph, it says the fund or the gaming commission is assisting the fund. The gaming commission really doesn't have that authority. We can provide guidance to the fund, but we cannot make that decision by denying a request. It's clear on the first page that we can provide assistance and expertise, basically guidance. But I think the folks here are a little concerned about the gaming commission actually denying a request.
I got you. I think that's a good point, and we have that removed. Jackie?
If we just take that line out, or the gaming commission assisting the fund, would be fine with that.
Can you take that out, Jackie?
Yeah, that's fine. I'm going to leave that. Tracy, if you can make sure that that happens, yes. I'd appreciate it. You have the electronic versions of these.
Absolutely.
Any other questions?
Thank you, Ron.
Any other questions on either the old policies or the new policies?
One other policy that we discussed at our last board meeting, the disqualification policy, the DQ policy. At that time, it was suggested.
That's item number 11?
It's item number 11, but it's a policy. If you'd rather do them all at once and do one approval, or if you want.
Good. Let's do it.
All right. So this one just required two updates, to include an expiration of 2 years and to include a comment on the lien, And so that was done, and the copies that you got were kind of red marked with the changes. So we're just looking for that, if that's okay now to be approved.
Good job.
Yeah.
Okay, any other questions on any of the old or new policies?
No.
In that case, take a motion to accept and promulgate new policies as amended with respect to the FOIL policy. Motion?
So moved.
There a motion by Dr. Wilmot, second?
Aye.
Second by Member Canizzo. Any other questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? The old and new policies are adopted. Number 9, review of draft rule regarding non-compliance with mayor movement and consideration of due process requirements. Kyle?
Yes, Chairman, my apologies in advance. I have not, to be honest with you, I was so focused on the other rulemaking that we were just talking about, and that this was not something that I did in the interim. And then when I realized that I need to put that together, we sort of ran out of time with the coronavirus issue. So my apologies, but I will draft this and circulate it within the next few weeks so that it can be considered at the June meeting. My apologies.
No problem, Kyle. Well understood. Okay, we'll postpone that to the June meeting, and Kyle will give us a draft prior to that meeting. Number 10, review of person risk use by Finger Lakes. Jill.
This is a two-page document that I sent out in regards to the year-end for Finger Lakes and how it compared to last year. So if you remember, in 2019, we changed the distribution on the purse enrichment to 40% or 600,000 to Finger Lakes and 900 to NYRA. It was the opposite prior to that. And then in addition, Finger Lakes had received some additional funds in the 2 years before that. But the other change that was made was to take away some of the restricted races and have them open company and pay owner awards on those races. And so if you were to look at 2000, first of all, on the left-hand side, Finger Lakes handle and purse comparison, you'll see the change in the number of days racing from 19 to 18 went down 23 days, which was a 16% decrease, but the total handle actually increased by $3 million or 3%, and the average daily handle went up about 23% or $190,000. So that's a good thing. In addition to that, if we look at it by races, we had 160 less races in Finger Lakes in 2019, which was a 14% decrease. And yet total purses only decreased by 1%, and the average purse per race increased by 15%. So the chart on the right-hand side of that shows that in 2019, the fund paid a purse enrichment of $600,000 and paid owner awards totaling $748,000 for a total of $1.3 million. And the last year that you can really compare that to was prior to 2017, where the Finger Lakes received $900,000, but we only paid out about $410,000 in first owner awards. So the total amount that we paid out, even though the distribution was a little bit different, the fund paid Finger Lakes Racing just as much money as we did in prior years. The less races because of the programs that the board initiated last year. So my thought is, so far I've been posting everything, assuming that we're going to have a continuation of that policy for this year. And I kind of like the board's opinion on that.
Jeff, you have anything to add on that?
Well, all of that is positive news. It was the first year that Finger Lakes is that increases in many, many, many moons. So in terms of handle, field size, and all the metrics. So the reality is that the recommendations that this board put together in terms of what we wanted Finger Lakes to do with our money, absolutely worked. And those maiden races that were the key behind our purse enrichment were the most successful races that Finger Lakes offered in terms of field size and handle. So the point is that we did exactly what the law and the statute requirement what is for purse enrichment, and it helped Finger Lakes. So I know that they're happy with that as well. So I would hope to see it continue forward, and perhaps they take further recommendations from some of this group too.
Okay, can you put that in the form of a motion to give Jill some direction?
No.
Somebody said no.
No, it doesn't. It was just informational.
So what do you need, Jill, to move forward?
Nothing. We're done. If nobody else wants to discuss it or have any comments. Like right now, the fund is budgeting. The budget was approved for first enrichment for 2020 of $1.5 million, which was the same as last year. And I'm assuming that breakdown, the $600 to Finger Lakes and the $900 to Naira, will continue. So maybe a motion to confirm that is the case.
Okay. A motion to continue the policy of $600 for Finger Lakes and $900 to Naira.
I make that motion.
By Member Panizzo, second?
Second.
Second by Dr. Roma. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Motion is carried. We'll move on to any new business. Anyone have any new business? Anyone want to discuss any old business?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I have one thing I'd like to bring up. This is Bill Wilmot. In June, we had a big discussion about the nature of the NYTB contract, and a committee was formed with Barry Sample, Jackie, and John Graziano, and Kyle was the ex officio to help them with it. And our next meeting will be June, so that'll be a year since that meeting. And I was just wondering where that situation is at the moment.
They have met. They have been working with the Gaming Commission, and that's about all I'm at liberty to say right now. I had a conversation with Kyle, and we believe it would be inappropriate to discuss it. Any other old business? Okay, a motion to adjourn.
What about the schedule? Have we approved the schedule? We did, right?
Yes. We just approved that as part of the policy stuff.
Right.
Okay, I want everybody to be safe. I'm available. You all have my cell phone if you need anything. Hopefully we'll all be able to get together in person in June. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, bye.
Bye-bye.